Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think about genetically engineered salmon? We were just talking about it in the studio here, and I asked Gary, you know, what do you think? Genetically engineered salmon, would you eat it? He said, what's it do, you know, genetically engineered? Well, I guess it'll be bigger, you know, the salmon will be bigger, you know, make it easier for them to produce the salmon, you know, in a more quantity, bigger quantity, those types, just like they're doing with corn and other things. So he said, well, more salmon, I'd eat it. So there you have it. But I'm not so sure that I would go ahead and have it. I'm worried about that genetically engineered part at the beginning of it, not just the bigger salmon. There's a new article that's out, and this was listed in the business section of the New York Times. And it says this: genetically engineered salmon approved for consumption. In the article, in the first paragraph, says this: federal regulators on Thursday approved a genetically engineered salmon for the first as fit for consumption, making it the first genetically altered animal to be cleared for American supermarkets and dinner tables. And the article goes on from there. We'll discuss that in just a minute. But obviously, there's a lot of GMO products out there. But typically, we're talking about plant-based GMO products. Here's an animal, though, the first one that has been approved now that has been genetically altered for human consumption. And so here we go. Is this how do we wrestle with this from the standpoint of the faith? So we got these new Frankenfoods. That's the title of what some people call these things, Frankenfoods, and faith. How do we wrestle with those two things? And here to talk with us about that is Dr. Joe Francis. He's the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences and also the Department of Mathematics, and a professor of biological sciences for the Master's College. Dr. Francis, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Yes, it's great to be back with you. Thank you.
Well, here we go with it. You know, we've talked a lot about ethical issues in a number of different areas. Are there some ethical concerns here? Are there some, even beyond ethical, is there some concerns about the quality maybe? We could talk about a few of those things. Let's talk about this article. You've read it. So what's your general take on it? And then we can start working through some of the issues.
Yes, well, as a Christian and a biologist, I would say that anything new that involves genetic manipulation, we should be cautious, and especially the first time. Sometimes when we develop a new technology, we cannot see what down the road, and sometimes we have to look at past examples. But I think what's great about Christian biology, biology taught from a biblical perspective, from a creation worldview, is we have a starting point. Mm. And the biblical starting point gives us some direction here, which is quite fascinating. First, I would start with the idea of man's dominion. And in Christian biology, we talk about that in the concept of stewardship. God has given us dominion, not to abuse this creation, but to take care of it, but also take care of it in a way that benefits man. And there's a hierarchy there, and that's really laid out in Scripture nicely, so we can make decisions. We don't have to worry about a bird taking over the land where man lives. We can, because they're equal. We know they're not equal, but they both possess a level of sanctity from God, so we can come up with a solution. I think modern environmental biology and genetics often don't have a basis for a solution. We also have, again, as I mentioned, the sanctity of life. We also have this issue of diversity in creation. God demonstrates himself in creation, as we know from Romans, and we see this in the profound diversity of life. And so we want to protect the diversity of life also as the caretaker. But also there's some fascinating things about genetics in the Bible. We can look in Genesis 30 and Jacob and Laban, the story there of how they divided up the flocks. It appears that they used some level of genetics in a sense that they divided the flocks based on whether they had spots or stripes. And Jacob even took the flock and apparently treated them with some type of plant that talks about a rod, and he peeled back the bark, and maybe there was something there. Anyway, there was recognition. There was recognition there that we could manipulate these flocks for man's benefit to make them grow better. And then grafting is fascinating in the New Testament. There's a lot about grafting. The example of putting tree parts on different trees from different trees on a tree, and the Bible talks. What's interesting in those verses, it also says the natural way implies it might be a little bit better, but grafting appears to be accepted and allowed. But in both those situations, we don't have creatures, we don't have sheep and cow parts being put together, we don't have weird combinations of trees in the grafting situation, but the Bible does allow some manipulation for man's benefit. I think one of the questions, though, I do have some cautions, but I wanted to throw out the biblical basis first to see how we think about that, and then we can move on from there.
I think that that's a really great, obviously, a really great starting point, especially because we find so much false teaching today about animals, and obviously in the hyper movement about animal rights and so forth, they actually exalt then the animal above man, and there seems as if their quest for a pristine environment means that man shouldn't be here at all. So they get that completely opposite from what we find in the scripture. There's no dominion there spoken about by man. So I'm glad you started with that. And, you know, really that's a great starting point for our discussion. Now, in the beginning of this this article that I referred to, it said that this had been a very long struggle for the company that did this, called, their name of the company is Aqua Bounty Technologies. And it said that, you know, they first approached the FDA about approving this in the 1990s. And it's taken that long because of the environmental movement and so forth and the pushback that they received to get all the way to this point. Your comments on that aspect of it?
Yes, and I think that's a whole important thing here. I think perception, I think probably what slowed that down was the technology getting it right, and probably the FDA and others had certain demands about where they raise these fish. Should we can raise salmon in pens in the ocean and natural salmon, and that wouldn't be good with this fish if it jumped out. So there's probably a lot of hoops that they had to jump through. But I think, you know, as I read these articles, part of the problem here is public perception and public education, and how do we label these foods. And when you put a label on a food, that just scares people right up front. You know, why are they putting a label on my food? And I think what happens is we can have a little bit of justified concern and unjustified concern. And again, in a culture that doesn't use a biblical basis, there can be confusion. And so again, if we go back to the man, the stewardship idea of man, first of all, we want to feed people. God said, that's part of our job. There's a world where we're struggling with getting enough food. Strikingly, the raising of salmon in pens in the United States is going beyond the number of cattle we're raising. That's fascinating. It's quite an industry. So I think there was a lot of concern, and again, not a good basis for how they make decisions about this. Should we start mixing up genes and genetics? And when there's no basis for it, I think it leads to confusion. Again, a Christian view of this, we can do some genetic manipulation. We want to feed people around us, but these other principles that I talked about, God showing his power through diversity and sanctity of life, must come into play too. For instance, they're saying that these fish will be raised in pens. And by the way, they do have genes from other fish. Now that starts to concern me a little bit, because what is this, still a salmon? And you know, that I don't know how much that's being. There's a gene from a Chinook salmon and a gene from another fish. It's a gene that helps them grow. It gives them a little more growth hormone. It allows them to grow all year long. Salmon only have a growth spurt in a couple months during the year. But here's a concern that can come from a Christian basis. If those fish do get in the wild, and undoubtedly fish can get into all sorts of ponds and places when a bird picks up an egg or whatever and moves it, will they outcompete other fish? Will they become an invasive species? And again, a Christian view is God has placed a balance on this earth. He has placed a lot of creatures. He wants to show us diversity. He wants to provide us food. And if we have one creature dominating over the other and killing the other one, then we have some concern. And that's called an invasive species. So I hope what we're not, one real caution here is, I hope we're not creating an invasive species. Now, the scientists who have done this have come back and said they've made these fish sterile. But if you read between the lines, it says 98%. All it takes is one female fish that is not sterile to get in the ocean and cause this problem. They say, well, we're going to raise them in pens. Well, you know, we're trusting a lot of people to raise them in pens. We're trusting that they're not going to get into a river. So those are some concerns that would come from a Christian basis. Is this creature going to destroy God's other creatures or destroy the balance we have in nature? And as Christians, we can think about that. And again, we don't have to get mixed up in liberal environmental confusion. Again, we don't have to worry about that too much, and we don't have to say, well, again, this fish is going to impinge on where man lives and that sort of thing, because again, man possesses the highest sanctity of life in God's order. So all of that is part of a Christian view of environmental concern, and it really gives us a great basis to move forward and make these decisions and to move with caution. You know, would I eat this fish? Eating the fish is probably not going to be a problem. When we eat a fish, we all digest its DNA. We're going to digest its DNA. But as we go along with conversation, I have some more concerns about that that we can bring up also.
Let me just quote from the article again as to why Aqua Advantage, the company that's doing this, says that they did it. It says this in the article: the Aqua Advantage salmon, as it is known, is an Atlantic salmon that has been genetically modified so that it grows to market size faster than non-engineered farmed salmon in as little as half the time. Now, we've had other animals that have been altered, just not genetically altered. For instance, obviously, you've got cattle and even a lot with chickens where they are pumped with hormones, and the hormones then are causing them to grow much faster. But this is different. This is actually genetically modifying the animal to do that. We've also had crossbreeding. We've talked about that a little bit, and there's been crossbreeding going on for a millennium, and in that, you know, there's just trying to get a more perfect specimen there, the best of the species and so forth. That we're not talking about that either. We're talking about actually going in and changing, you know, genetically changing the animal, the fish in this case, in order to produce larger fish and so forth. It's been my experience in a couple of areas that I just find automation this way. Automation meaning that the time that it takes for the fish to grow is too slow for these producers, so they want to cut that. They want to make it quicker. automation in food processing is not very good, is not normally a good thing, not this type of automation. And I would say, like automation in evangelism or automation in discipleship, some things just take time. And when we try to cut corners and speed things up, then I think that oftentimes there's some problems that are associated with that. And so there's just my two cents on, I don't like the idea that let it take the time that it takes, and let's not mess with that. And because I want the fish to come out like he's supposed to, not have somebody in there tweaking the genes of it and so forth to try to get something different. But your thoughts then? You said we could talk a little bit more about whether or not it would be okay to eat the fish or some of these other considerations. What are those?
Yes. Well, first of all, let me say, I believe you're using proper caution here. It's something new. You pointed to past examples. Again, that's one of the ways we use Scripture. Scripture is full of history, and we can learn from that, and that's good. And yes, this is a little different than, growth hormone in milk and so on. Though there's some real concern about that because those hormones could get into our system. Mm-hmm. This is a little safer from that perspective. But your concern about natural versus kind of a sped-up process mm-hmm. is very good. It's very good because, again, I would love to do a word study on that word in the New Testament, natural, where it talks about natural grafting. There's a hint there that that is better. Now, here's some of my concerns about this process as they move forward. I'll give you an example from my homeland in Michigan. I grew up on a lake near Lake in Michigan, and they introduced coho salmon there years ago from the West. They introduced coho salmon to control another fish population. Well, it destroyed the lake that we lived on as far as the water quality. Mm. And it didn't destroy it totally. It just really messed it up. A lot of species were gone because the salmon ate them. This effluent from the fish hatchery came in. It took years and years to clean that up. So we have a history in environmental biology of trying to bring something in and to fix something, and then we cause 10 other problems. The food industry in this case has some problems here. So, for instance, a lot of us have eaten vegetables that have grown up, that have been genetically altered mm-hmm. to be resistant to Roundup. And a lot of us have used Roundup on our lawn to kill weeds, and they've made them genetically resistant to Roundup. The problem, and eating those vegetables again is not a problem directly if they're clean.
So that they could spray the plants with Roundup, and it wouldn't hurt the plant, but it would kill the pests that are on the plant, right?
Yes, it would kill. That's exactly right. It would kill the other weeds around them. Great idea. Interesting. But there's been some problems because now we're eating vegetables that have a lot more of this herbicide on it. Mm-hmm. Is that good? Now, we have a parallel here to the fish industry, because when you raise fish in pens, there are some salmon raised in overseas markets where the water, those pens are smaller than the ocean. You can't dilute out the wastes from the fish that well. So what do these growers do? They throw in antibiotics in this dirty water. And what do you do with antibiotics? You create antibiotic-resistant bacteria. I have more concern about eating fish from those pens than the genetically altered fish right now, because there could be a antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So in many of these cases, here's the distinction. Mm-hmm. It's not the vegetable or the fish genetics that's the problem. The flesh is not the problem. It's what people are treating it with to keep them growing.
Yes.
So I'm concerned in these pens in the U.S., a salmon rancher could cut corners and try to not clean up his water and start throwing antibiotics in. Now we have an issue, and undoubtedly that's happening in the chicken industry where antibiotics are thrown in, and it's causing a lot of problems with antibiotic resistant bacteria getting into the human population. And there's a direct inference now that certain bladder infections and so on, there's genetic, there's links to bacteria from the poultry industry to human disease. It's just come out in the last few years where we have that distinction. So I'm not so concerned about the fish itself. I'm concerned about how they're going to treat them. And I think that your caution, it fits right in there, because the speed of this requires them to use small spaces, grow bigger fish in small spaces, and these problems can occur. And I think they very well will occur in some instances.
Mm-hmm. I pass by the, we call it the chicken truck. There's a poultry processing plant nearby, and very often be driving down the road, and the chicken truck comes by and loaded with the chickens on there. When you see the way these things are packed together, you would probably never eat another chicken sandwich again in your life.
Yeah.
The smell greets you first, long before the truck ever shows up, and it's just horrible, the smell associated with it. But, you know, we get these horror stories of they're so pumped full of hormones that they can't even stand up. The weight of the chicken is greater than the development of their legs, and so their body weighs more than their legs can actually support. So they just, it just seems that, you know, we started this off by talking about Frankenfoods. It does seem a little bit, you know, like Frankenstein, you know, that there's so much fooling around with the food that we eat, which is so vital, of course, for, and we don't know everything about how it impacts our bodies, and tweaking this stuff in this way, what are going to be the side effects, that it just seems so, for the sake of time and to make a you know, more money or something, it just seems like, well, there's other ways to do it than to be messing with the food in this way. What do you think?
Yes. I just saw an article the other day about free-range chicken movement. I think those things are good. I think, too, again, from a Christian perspective, we do care about animals in their place. We do care about how God created them. We really shouldn't cause undue suffering, you know, when we kill an animal for food. It should be done in a humane way. I think those are all good Christian principles that we should use. Yeah, some of these chicken farms, I think, are really, really bad the way they do it. And it looks like the antibiotic, again, I watched a program where they're just every day they're pumping antibiotics into that system. My concern is for human health,
yes.
Number one, and then animal health, number two. We can have these concerns. It's okay as a Christian to be concerned about the environment and animals in the context, again, of a stewardship principle. I would hate to create a Frankenfood that became an invasive species and started to alter the ocean waters. That's not our role. There is a tremendous balance in nature that God has placed there, even in a fallen world, and it works, and it works. And so I think wherever we can say natural is better, we should strive for that, and maybe use our technology to increase the way we can do it naturally. That's a solution too.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to always genetically manipulate. So I think there are some real concerns here. Again, if someone wanted to eat the salmon and it's FDA approved, I think it's not going to be a problem to their immediate health.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a bigger issue here, is if we do start eating it and farmers want to do it, what's going to happen as they scale up and try to make it faster, as you have said?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be temptation to treat these fish in a way where they're going to, I believe they're probably going to have to use antibiotics. And that's a real, as a microbiologist, someone who studies bacteria and disease, I'm very concerned about that getting into the human population. So I just wanted to make a distinction for our listeners. Genetic alteration is probably allowed scripturally within limits, within limits. We're not the creator, but God has allowed us to watch the dog, you know, be involved in dog breeding and breeding of plants like roses, and see his tremendous diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But in many ways, that's also done in a natural way. We're not going into the DNA and making a new dog. We're allowing that to happen in a way where we can do the slight manipulation of the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some fascinating Christian principles that can guide us here, and we don't have to be persuade politically to not be involved in this discussion. We
right.
should be involved in this discussion on environmental principles, but from a way that really first, the first principle is the sanctity of life of man, and then we move from there. So if these fish are raised in a way that create a danger to man, then we really need to think about that.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Christians just say, well, the Bible says rise, kill, and eat, so it doesn't matter. I don't need to give any more thought to this issue at all. But I don't think that that's the right track to take. We need to engage our mind and all of the scripture and bring it all to bear on what is happening today in our society, even with these frankenfoods. Our faith, what we believe, and the scriptures as the foundation of that belief, that needs to be brought to bear on every one of these issues. Listen, this isn't going away. There's not just something here fishy with the salmon, but there's also, they're now got apples that they're looking at it genetically modifying the apple so that it doesn't brown as quickly and so forth. And obviously there's a lot of GMO already taking place, genetically modified foods and so forth taking place that'll stop and modify insects and so forth. So this is not going to be an issue that's going to go away. It's only going to get more and more. So we need to think about these things and bring all of these issues back to the touchstone of God's Word. Dr. Francis, you've always been a great help in guiding us to do that. We appreciate the work that you do there at Masters. We appreciate you taking the time out to talk about this one here today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. And again, I just want to say I'm so thankful that God has given us wisdom in His Word. It is a basis for all these decisions. It is a starting point. And then He wants us to use our mind for His benefit and His glory. So thank you so much for having me.
Okay, let's close off the broadcast. We'll both head out and get a Twinkie. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what kind of frankenfood that is, but that is just not natural, whatever's in that thing.
Yeah, that's right. All right, thank you so much.
All right, thank you very much. Again, that was Dr. Joe Francis. You can find out more about Dr. Francis by going out to the masters.edu website. That's www.masters.edu. Again, Dr. Francis, he's the chairperson of the Department of Biological and Physical Sciences, as well as the Department of Mathematics. He's also a professor of biological sciences. And again, that's at the Masters College, www.masters.edu. The article that we were talking about, again, was taken from the New York Times, and the date of it was November 19th. It was talking about genetically engineered salmon approved for consumption. And I thought Dr. Francis really just struck the right tone about this. There may be some benefits to it that we need to consider as well, obviously, with helping the poor and so forth. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.